Nobody asks why Veronica and Stoker seem to encounter so many murders, but they do, and their greatest joy is solving them together.
That's Deanna Rayburn, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Deanna Rayburn is the New York Times bestselling author of the novel Killers of a Certain Age, as well as several book series, including the Lady Julia Gray Mysteries and the Veronica Speedwell series. She joins us to talk about A Ghastly Catastrophe. It's the 10th book in the Veronica Speedwell Victorian Mystery series. Deanna, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, this is the 10th novel to feature Veronica Speedwell. And for those who may not be familiar with this character, before we talk about this latest novel, tell us about her.
Veronica Speedwell is our intrepid Victorian lepidopterist, which is just a fancy word for a butterfly hunter. She travels the world. She provides butterfly specimens to collectors. She studies them. And she spends a lot of her time falling over dead bodies, kind of unintentionally. And she's super inquisitive. So, of course, she's got to figure out, why are they dead? Who done it?
And she is aided in her adventures by her beau, Stoker. Tell us about him.
I don't think I've ever heard Stoker referred to as her beau. I love that. Stoker is Revelstoke Templeton Vane. He is the middle son of an aristocratic family. He's very much the black sheep of the family. He is also a natural historian, and he's also greatly distracted from his work by dead bodies. And figuring out, you know, why I keep thinking like Jessica Fletcher in Cabot Cove, why no one wonders why this woman keeps falling over so many dead bodies. Nobody asks why Veronica and Stoker seem to encounter so many murders, but they do. And their greatest joy is solving them together.
So tell us about the dynamic between these two. What makes them an interesting couple?
Well, they're very sparky. You know, they have a lot of repartee. They don't take, I feel like they are very serious about their work, but they also don't take themselves so seriously. You know, they both appreciate the absurdity of what happens to them sometimes. You know, poor Stoker is always getting garroted or shot or stabbed or nearly drowned. I put him in physical peril in almost every book just because it's fun. And they are a very modern couple within the Victorian context because they are deeply, deeply committed to each other. They are monogamous, but they are not married. They have no intention of marrying. Stoker is divorced. Veronica is unmarried and child-free by choice. And so they have a relationship. They live on the same property, but not in the same dwelling. So it's very much a case of, you know, we get together when we get together, and then we're going to go back to our respective dwellings. And I think for Veronica, happiness is never having to share a bathroom with a man.
Do you think that independence and her spirit as a Victorian woman is what appeals to today's readers?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my degree is in English and history, and I feel like there are two main ways of approaching history. Either you spend most of your time looking for the differences, or you spend most of your time looking for the similarities. And there is a lot of common ground with Victorians, and there's a lot of common ground with Veronica. You know, she is very much her own person. She makes her own choices. She pays for that, you know, because she would not be accepted by the most respectable elements of society. But Veronica doesn't really care about that element of society. You know, she has wonderful friends. She has work that she loves. She has a man she adores. And so her life is very full. And just because it's unconventional doesn't mean that it's not deeply, deeply satisfying. And so I think a lot of women, and men too, for that matter, can relate to a character who says, you know what, I see what society expects of me, and thank you, but no, I won't be doing that. I'm going to do what makes me happy. It is who I am. And I'm going to make the choices that reflect my authentic self.
So let's talk about this latest novel, A Ghastly Catastrophe. And once again, They stumble across some dead bodies.
They do, more than one. This one is, you know, we have different ways of entering the mysteries each time. Sometimes Veronica and Stoker themselves encounter the body. Sometimes other people appeal to them for help because they know that as amateur sleuths, these two have a pretty good track record. And in this case, Mornaday, their friend who is an inspector, well, friend in quotation marks, Veronica would consider him a friend. Stoker would consider him a frenemy. But Mornaday works for Special Branch at the Metropolitan Police. He's at Scotland Yard. And there's a case that is just getting under his skin because he's been told not to investigate it. It's going to be swept under the rug. And he really wants to know what's happened. And so he goes to Veronica and Stoker because he knows, I mean, it's like dangling a bit of catnip in front of, you know, your tomcat. They're going to go crazy for it. So he says, look, I've got this body. It was mysterious circumstances. Help a brother out. And at the same time, their other friend, JJ Butterworth, she is this indefatigable reporter who is on, I mean, poor girl. I've given her some hard times at the beginning of this book. She is also one of their kind of partners in crime, and she is enlisted to help as well. So the foursome are kind of working together to figure out what has happened in a case of two mysterious dead bodies, one of which has been found in a carriage drained of all its blood. And so rumors of vampirism are afoot. And the other one is a man who suddenly has apparently taken his own life with no motive. And so they're enlisted to put the pieces together.
And they also stumble across a secret society that's somehow tied into all this. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, we love a secret society. We love a secret society. In this case, it's a group of people who are following a man who may or may not be a vampire. You know, Veronica, as a natural historian, kind of likes to keep an open mind. Victorians loved a little bit of scientific inquiry. They were all about trying to find rational and scientific explanations for things that maybe defied that. And sometimes they got it very, very right. You know, thank you, Victorians, for germ theory. But sometimes they got it very, very wrong, which is why we no longer do phrenology, which is feeling out the bumps in people's skulls to explain their personalities. In this case, I feel like Veronica would definitely want to know, are vampires real? Is there something going on here that we haven't figured out yet as scientists? Where Stoker takes a much more pragmatic and, you know, very rational approach to this, which is don't be ridiculous. There's no such thing as vampires. There's no such thing as ghosts. But Stoker is also, of the two of them, he's the one who would believe in cryptids. You know, he's the one who would believe that Bigfoot probably exists. At the beginning of one of the books, he has just spent 3 months in Bavaria chasing something called a Wolpertinger, which is essentially a jackalope. You know, it's a rabbit with antlers. And Stoker wants to believe that it's real. So, you know, between the two of them, there's rationalism and skepticism, but there's also this longing to believe in something that might be greater than what we would find in everyday life.
So lots to unpack in this 10th edition of the Veronica Speedwell series. This is the 10th time you've set a novel in this time period with Veronica. So a lot of the, you know, details are in the society is familiar to you now. But did this novel pose any other sort of research challenges for you?
I had written one vampire book probably 15 years ago. So I was able to go back and kind of revisit some of that research, which was a great deal of fun because, you know, what Victorians thought about vampires and what they wrote about them was really, really fascinating. You know, I loved digging into the folklore of that. Like you said, it is our 10th adventure with Veronica. I had written another Victorian series before that. So we're looking more in the range of about 15 Victorian books. And I was able with this book to take the characters, the two main characters from that previous series and bring them in for a crossover event. So readers who are familiar with the Julia Gray series and have missed Julia Gray and her husband, Nicholas Brisbane, there is a wonderful Easter egg for them in this book in the form of a significant scene, you know, nice, long, juicy passage where Julia and Nicholas get involved in this particular investigation. And that is something we really wanted to save for the 10th book, because the 10th is, you know, special. It's a milestone book. And that was just a huge treat to be able to go back and kind of revisit these characters and establish formally that they do live in the same world.
Do you see them crossing paths again in the future?
There's not a plan for it, but I absolutely would not rule it out. I'm not ever going to let them take over Veronica and Stoker's stories, because this is very much Veronica's world. But it was just such a joy to be able to visit those characters again. And I know I'm getting huge responses from readers who are very, very excited to see them and, you know, have a chance to catch up with them and see them in action, especially, you know, given what the dynamic is with this new sleuthing couple.
Deanna, there's a question I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you would like to spend a day in real life with one of the characters from this novel, who would it be and why?
Oh, that is such a fantastic question. Oddly enough, it would probably be J.J. Butterworth. Veronica, I feel like, would exhaust me for a day. She has boundless energy. But I feel like JJ has seen a lot of things. As a female reporter in the late 1880s, you know, she has really had to make her own way in the world. And I have not yet developed a backstory for her. So I would be very interested to spend some time with her and figure out exactly what backstory I need to give her.
I asked this question of another author once, and they said, you know, this is where sequels come from, that there's another character that it's not, you know, as developed as the main characters, obviously, but I'm curious about them. So they might show up later in their own stories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've been asked, because of the fact that JJ does play a more prominent role in this book, she pops up every few books, we get some JJ. And in this book, she plays a more prominent role. And I have had readers already saying, is JJ going to get her own book? Which that's not something that I necessarily think, you know, JJ is not going to be the main character, but it might be very interesting to tackle a book where JJ's mystery is at the heart of it. And we see a little more development from her. We see a little more backstory from her, because I think there's a lot of potential to play with that character.
So what is next for you?
Right now, I am writing the book that will be coming out in 2027, and it is a contemporary thriller centered around a jewel heist.
The novel is A Ghastly Catastrophe. It's the 10th book in the Veronica Speedwell Victorian Mystery Series by Deanna Rayburn. Deanna, thank you for talking with me today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.